Welcome to the November 5th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Well, here we are, folks, wrapping up the college football regular season. It is amazing to me that we're already at that point of the year, but it continues to fly by every single year. We start out and go, hey, it's the start of football. This is exciting. Can't wait. And next thing you know, you blink your eyes and college football regular season is almost over, and pretty soon pro football regular season will be over. Just amazing. Goes so quick. So I hope you've had a fun season so far. And without further delay, let's get into this week's podcast. The first topic that I wanted to get into today touches on something that someone sent me in a recent conversation, and this is what they said. They said, recently, I've just been sitting back, almost waiting for the downturns, because I know the upturns are so much better, like you say. Pretty crazy when I wish to lose at times. Now, obviously, this person doesn't really wish to lose, but their statement shows an acceptance of cold runs. It shows an acceptance of the process that, yes, we're going to get hot, and that's awesome, but we're also going to get cold. And I'm not going to use this segment of the podcast to go back about hot and cold runs and all that. I've talked about that a lot. I can sum up what I say about hot and cold runs simply as, the goal is not to avoid cold runs, because you can't do that. You're just spinning your wheels if you try. The goal is to do everything you can to notice that a cold run is coming. And we're pretty good at spotting when things are going to turn, when there is regression that is due at the Sharp Plays. And when that happens, and when you start to see it, when those bad beats start to come, when a couple losses start to stack up, which are things that you don't experience in a hot run, because in a hot run, you're hitting, the brakes are going your way, everything's going good. So when things start to go against you, when you start to lose a couple games in a row, now you go, okay, it was hot, here comes the regression, and now you can dial down your action. And since you can't avoid gambling for some people, which gets to the point of the topic here, the best thing that you can do is minimize those losses, keep it tight so that when it turns and you get hot again, now you can maximize your wins. And it's a simple sort of math game. When we're in a cold run and I'm acknowledging that we're in a cold run at the Sharp Plays, the action for portfolio is 0.1%, 0.25% at most. You know, we're banging out these 0.1 unit, 0.25 unit parlays and basically just using them to test the water. If the waters aren't good and we go 0-10, well, worst case, we've lost probably about 2% or 2 units of bankroll. That's absolutely nothing. Now, to some, they're going to say, oh my God, we're 0-20 on the last 20 plays. Well, if those are 0.1 units, you've lost 2 units altogether. You've lost 2% of your bankroll. Big deal. Because when we're hot, we're betting 1 unit, 2 units, 1.5 units. And obviously, percent is interchangeable with the term unit here. That's what we're betting. And so 1 unit, 2 units in a hot run is erasing that 0-20 run that you had on 0.1% plays. So it's something that I want to really emphasize, is that's how the minimize losses works. And then when you get hot again, you maximize your wins through the rollovers, the parlays. Once you get a little bank going there, now you're starting to hit the 1 unit, the 2 unit plays. And that's it. You build bankroll, you erase the losses very quickly, and you're putting profit on top. And eventually that run is going to come to an end, and the next cold run is going to start. But if you can't do that, if you can't handle losses, then when we start to talk about cold runs, you have another option as a subscriber, and that is just not to bet. Sit back, watch how the Hermes selections go, watch how portfolio goes. When you start to see things warm up a little bit, yeah, you're going to miss some action by not betting, but some of you can't really handle losses, and you don't handle it well. So the best thing to do is to try to avoid the bulk of the cold run. You're not going to avoid all of it. You're going to have a couple days, take it on the chin, but that's usually coming after a hot run, so it's not as painful. But once you have those days, once you deal with those days, then you can step back and go, I'm just going to sit back and watch for a while. And really, that's a preference thing. You know, I'm there to put out content to the degenerates, to test the water, to show some strategies as we go along in the cold run, but you don't have to bet. And if you sit back and wait, you will see when things start to turn. And how can you see? Sometimes it's just a gut feel. Last Friday when we won, I believe it was Toronto in the NBA. It was just one play, one Hermes selection last Friday. Toronto comes through, gets the win. And after that win, I said, I kind of felt different. You know, that looked different. And then sure enough, we had a great Saturday. Saturday content killed it. Sunday content ground out a little bit of a profit. And, you know, here we go on what is clearly the next hot run. Now, is it white hot? Are we printing money? No, but hopefully that will come. You know, every hot run isn't the same where you just you know, you go from ice cold to boiling hot and then back to ice cold again. Some of them are a good grind. Sometimes the grind ones are the good ones because they last 2 or 3 months where you're building up healthy profits, but you don't really have any of the epic wins or epic days, but every day is kind of good and giving you some money. So hopefully that's the run that we're on. Let's keep it going this week. And that's the first topic that I want to discuss. The next one that I want to discuss is about sports services because it's a question I get all the time. The second topic for today is about sports services. And, you know, really it's a simple one. I won't belabor the point too much, but I get asked all the time because of what the Sharp Plays does in monitoring sports services, and excuse me, I shouldn't say sports services, monitoring professional sports bettors, monitoring sharp bettors at a couple books offshore, monitoring groups, and with TSP Insiders, that people think I monitor, or we at the Sharp Plays monitor a bunch of different services out there, a bunch of different handicappers out there, and we don't. Most of the handicappers are absolutely worthless. I would say 99% of them. I'm sorry, it's just what it is. I'm not saying that just to somehow boost up the Sharp Plays and what we do, but it's just a fact. Find me a service out there that keeps a daily log of every one of their wagers and keeps it for a long period of time. You'll find guys who readily post their tickets and show you the fancy watches they have and show you their, you know, I'm flying in a private jet this week and all this other bullshit. And they'll show you a log of their wagers for the past week. Maybe they had a great month, so they'll show you the log for the past month. But if you ask to see 6 months ago, oh, take it easy, not so fast. If you ask to see how they've done over the past year, whoa, my friend, you're getting a little wild. And they don't want to show you that. Why? If anyone is worth anything in this business, there is one thing they want to do. They want to pull their dick out and they want to show you how big it is. And how do you do that in this business? It's by showing you the performance logs. It's showing you, this is what I wager on. This is what I put out. This is my performance. There you go. How do you feel about it? That's the way the game is played. But, or I should say, that's the way the game should be played, because then you can see what this person actually legitimately did. But that's not how this game is played. 98% of handicappers out there want to show you the other things. They want to give you the smoke and mirrors. They want to say, look at these big tickets that I put in. Look at me in this fancy hotel room. Look at me in my fancy car. Oh, look at me, I get to fly in a private jet. And that's what they want to show you instead of showing you data. This is a data-driven business, sports betting. And the one thing that these guys don't want to show you is data. So what should that tell you? It should be right there. So if you ask me if a service is any good, my question is going to be, do they have a daily log and have they kept it for at least a year, 2 years, or more? If the answer is no, if the answer is they're just starting out, if the answer is anything else, I would not trust them one bit because they're going to be full of shit. If someone wants you to believe them, the easiest way to provide credibility is to put a daily log of everything that you're doing out there. If they don't do that, it's an easy pass for me. And the problem is, though, a lot of you are still going to be sucked in. Even as I say that, even as I say you better make sure they have a log, people are going to sign up. People who listen to this podcast right now are going to spend money on handicappers who do not do that. And then when they lose money, they're going to be like, what the shit? I don't get this. That's how the game is played. People play this game with smoke and mirrors to suck you in for as much money as they can, and then they move on to the next person. So how do you avoid that? Get someone who has credibility, who is willing to put their logs out there and show you a ledger of their action for every single day. Not just the parts they want to show you the last week, the last month. Every single day that they have put out content. For the Sharp Plays, our logs go back to 2021. So that's 4-5 years now of tracking. For TSP Portfolio, it launched in 2023. There's a log from January 2023. Hermes AI, that launched January 13th of this year. There is a log of every single wager from that point. So you don't have to believe me. You don't have to trust what I'm saying about records because you can download these logs and see for yourself. And you might say, well, I don't know what goes on in TSP Live because I'm not a subscriber. Well, at a certain point, yes, you may have to, if you believe these different things, you may have to dip your toe in the water with a week subscription. And for that week, you monitor what content did you get and did the logs get updated accordingly? And if they did, you know, or at least should have some level of trust that, okay, you know, this is, they're not full of shit at a minimum. They're not full of shit. They're actually logging and tracking what they put out. That is a big step. And it's pathetic that that's a big step in this industry, because it just shows how dirty and awful the industry is at the end of the day and how many, you know, shenanigans go on. I mean, in this business, the simple way to show that you are a quality service is to put out a daily ledger of your content. Yet nobody does it. They'll show you their big tickets. They'll show you highlights. You know, oh, I'm 27-3 on my last, you know, 30 NCAA football selections. But they don't tell you that before that, they were 10-46. So that 27-3 means jack shit, because they were 10-46 before that. So you're still losing money with them. The other thing that they will do is they'll show you, like, here's my record for the last 7 days. Here's my record for the last 30 days. I don't give a shit about the last 30 days. How about the record for the last 730 days? Not just the last 30 days. That would show me what kind of a better you are, but you won't see that. Why won't you see that? I wonder why. The other thing that people will do in this business is guaranteed pricing. They'll sell you a play for $60 guaranteed or $30 non-guaranteed. That's a whole other scam, because guaranteed in your head says it's going to win. Even though you may know it just means I'm not going to get billed, in your head, guaranteed means something more. You gladly pay the extra price. And then, well, if it loses, I don't get billed for it. Okay. But if you're going to use guaranteed pricing and you're going to buy in guaranteed pricing, someone who goes 50% is still going to make money off you. This person is 50 and, you know, say 50 and 50 over 100 games, and you've paid $60 per selection when they win. Well, you paid $3,000 and lost vig. Again, you're not gaining anything. There's nothing guaranteed there with it. So that's something that you also have to look out for. And, you know, obviously there's the typical, you know, scams where there's services that are just downright dirty and they give out both sides of a game. That's kind of died out a lot. It used to be a big thing back in the 90s, and when services would advertise in newspapers and they'd get, you know, 300 callers and they'd give 150 this game and they'd give 150 another game. So you always have half of your base is happy and willing to pay more. And just like good junkies, when you give a sports bettor a winner, and you tell them, like, if I told you tomorrow, this is a perfect example. Tomorrow we have the Raiders and the Broncos, okay? So I believe right now Denver is -9 or 9.5, depending on the book. Let's just say 9. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say, I have inside information on this game. I know of something that's going to play out in this game that is making one of these teams an absolute fucking lock. You are going to make a fortune on this game. And now you, as the degenerate sports bettor, are sitting there going, oh my God, I need this game. And I go, well, it's $499. I know it's expensive, but the information was expensive, and this is a lock. And I tell you, go in and buy it. The game will be released tomorrow at 6 before the game. So you go out there, you purchase, so do, let's say, 100 other people. 50 of you are going to get Denver -9. 50 of you are going to get the Raiders +9. If the Raiders win the game outright, oh my God, I look like an absolute genius to those of you that got the Raiders. If the Raiders just cover, again, going to look like a genius. If Denver wins in a blowout, going to look like a genius for those that got Denver in a blowout, or, you know, Denver as their play. And those 50 people who got Denver as the play are going to likely come back. And then when they come back, they go, oh my God, that was awesome. We won Denver easy. You're the best ever. You're the greatest. What can we do? You know, what do you want? I need another game. So I go, okay, well, you know, this weekend I got another game, but this one is huge. This is our game of the year. It's going to be $999. And you go out and you decide, all right, I'm going to buy this one. So now I have 50 people who just won with me on Denver. Mind you, some of those that lost on the Raiders will probably still come back and want another game, because now they have to dig out of a hole. Not all of them, but some of them. All of those that got Denver are going to definitely come back. So now of the 100, I have about 60 guys who come back on Saturday. I go, okay, it's, let's say, Ole Miss and Citadel. I got the lock of the year here. And I give 25 people Ole Miss, and I give 25 people Citadel. And if Citadel covers, those 25 are going to be happy. They're going to buy again. Now, just see how the progression goes. That used to be a big scam back in the day, because you'd start out with 100 or 200 guys, and you constantly grind them down and get it down to, you know, 10, 5 guys who are still paying you $2,000 a game because they're just making an absolute fortune. They just happen to be one of the lucky ones who always got the winner in this 50-50 proposition. So a lot more shenanigans went on in the 90s like that. You don't really see it today, thanks to the internet in some ways adding some transparency, but, you know, that's still a big gap. Obviously, you've heard of all the different touts that are out there selling bullshit. It's not as aggressively bullshit selling both sides of a game, but some still do that, as it was back then. But it's still the usual, you know, inflating records and lying about stuff and hiding things. So at the end of the day, if you're interested in another sports service, if they have a log, that is the only, then I would be interested in, not me, but you as the individual could be interested in investigating them if they have a log. If they do not keep a long-term log, it's a no, it's done right there. Full stop, move on to somebody else. If you find someone that has a log, then yes, at a certain point, you're going to have to find a way to edit their to audit their plays, which could be either buying a short-term subscription or, you know, getting the plays with someone else, splitting it, whatever. And then you can track and see, are they updating their logs honestly? If they are, then it becomes a decision for you to make. If not, obviously you know what to do. So that's the simple answer. I went on a long rambling thing here, but at the end of the day, if they don't keep a daily ledger of their wagers, it is an absolute move on. I don't give a shit what they show you. I don't care if they have a house with the strippers and the models and the actors and the actresses partying with them and all this other stuff. I do not care. It's all bullshit. They're showing you that because they can't show you the real thing, which is data. And this is a data-driven business. All right, so last but not least for this segment, I wanted to get into Ole Miss Citadel. I always cover the Ole Miss games every week. I mean, this is going to be an extra games schedule. You're going to be able to bet maybe $500 on it if you wanted to, but I'm not touching it anyway. I did not see a line out. I looked at a number of books. I looked at the Don Best screen. So I ended up asking one of the traders that was in at one of the books that I work with. And he said they expected Ole Miss to be around a 48-point favorite when the market opened. So that's kind of a plus or minus 2 points. So 46 to 50 is about where this spread should be. They said they expected around 48. That's way too big of a number for me to lay. Limits are going to be ridiculously low. But honestly, I would almost lean to Citadel in this game. And the reason that I would lean to Citadel is simply because Citadel is in a position where they come in with nothing to lose, and Ole Miss is coming off two very tough games. I mean, they busted their ass against Georgia, even though they lost, and they busted their ass against Oklahoma, even though, and you know, thankfully they got the win there. And then, I should say three games, because then South Carolina gave them some fits. They opened it up, and they got the cover for us in the end, but South Carolina was not an easy opponent. So now, after three very tough weeks, they finally get a, I don't mean to be mean to Citadel, but they finally get a cupcake team. And I could see them just doing enough to grind out a decent win. And that being a 28 to 35 or 42 point win, where it's a cozy win. They're not going to lose any points in the playoff rankings or the AP poll, but they're not going out there to score 67 points and get somebody hurt because they constantly have to pour it on. Kiffin loves to cover, but he doesn't give a shit about an extra game schedule. If anything, you know, maybe look to the over. I could see, you know, Citadel walking down the field once or twice because Ole Miss just lets them score. And then I could see Ole Miss just scoring at will on them. But I don't even know the over. I forgot to ask about the total. So I don't know there. Long story short, though, I would not bet Ole Miss this week. I wouldn't necessarily fade them. But if you ask me what I would do, it would probably be to fade them versus to play them, given the size of the spread and the fact that Ole Miss really could use a week off. And so they might treat this as sort of a playing bye or a scrimmage. And with that, I'm going to get to the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. These have absolutely sucked lately. 2-5. We had a nice little thing going and then just bang, right in the face. Can't catch a win. I've always said, though, that I do suck as a handicapper. If I didn't have information, I would not be a professional gambler by any stretch of the imagination, because as a handicapper, I absolutely blow. But this week, I think I'm going to get a win, and it's because I'm going to cheat a little bit. I got some information, just general sharp buying, nothing like, oh, the game is fixed or some bullshit like that. No, just general sharp buying on Tulane on Friday over Memphis. I've been watching the Memphis spreads. It's just something that caught my eye recently, and there's been a sharp fade of Memphis in recent games. And it hasn't really worked out. There was a sharp fade on Rice, you know, last week, taking Rice to cover against Memphis, and Memphis just kicked the shit out of them. So it's something, and I've seen it in previous weeks. I've seen it going on. It's happening even more this week. And it's that whole sharp darling, sharp fade strategy I've talked about a lot, really, since baseball. And eventually the cream rises to the top. And I think this is the week that Memphis finally gets caught, because it seems like the reason that sharps are betting on them is they see Memphis as overvalued. So they see Memphis as overvalued, and they're targeting every one of Memphis's opponents to take advantage of that overvaluation, but it just hasn't paid anything yet. This week, they are more aggressive than they've ever been, and it's on Tulane. I looked at Tulane coming in because I thought this is going to be another sharp fade. Sure enough, it is. So the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year this week is going to be Tulane plus the 5. A lot of the sharper books have 4.5 out there. If you shop around, about 50% of the market is still at 5 on Tulane. Game goes Friday. That's Tulane plus 5 over Memphis on Friday as the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. Let's get to 3-5 so I can finally get a fucking run going here and get these back into the green. And that, my friends, is going to do it for this week's episode of the Go Fast and Win podcast. I hope you have a great week. Let's cash some tickets. We got hot last week. Things started to warm up. Let's keep it going. Don't miss the run, tsp.live. Sign up today. Thank you, as always, for your support. It supports everything that the Sharp Plays does. Once again, good luck, and I'll see you next week.